WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
What is up, Tuscaloosa, and welcome back to the student section. I am your host, Aiden McGuirk, and I'm joined by Rennell Foreman and Adam Hambright. Got a lot of exciting things to talk about in the world of football, both college and pro. An eventful weekend, that's for sure. But before we do, have an exciting Monday Night Football matchup that's about to air in the next 15 minutes. The New York Giants, the undefeated New York Giants, will take on the Dallas Cowboys, led by backup quarterback Cooper Rush. So we're going to get some predictions here. The New York Giants are favored by 1 point. An exciting matchup, that's for sure, for New York as they look to go 3-0. So I'm going to start with you, Rennell. Who do you have winning this game?
I think that tonight's game is going to probably be very competitive. It's going to be a very good game, very close game. But prediction-wise, I think I got Giants 20-14, and I think Saquon gets 2 touchdowns.
All right, and you, Adam?
No, I feel pretty much the same on this one. You know, the Giants still undefeated, one of the last undefeated teams. The Cowboys, if they had Dak Prescott in this game, I'd probably lean Cowboys. But right now, if you're just looking at the stats, they are very even. So right now I'm going to go with who has the healthier offense. And like you said, Saquon Barkley, 2 touchdowns. I don't know if he'll get the 2 touchdowns, but I think he'll have a good game tonight. And I expect the Giants to win this one probably 24-14.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley, NFL's leading rusher going into the start of this weekend. I think Jonathan Taylor has maybe overtaken him for the moment. But Brian Daboll has got Saquon looking like the Saquon Barkley of old during his rookie year. Yeah, pretty close, obviously. 1 point difference, over under 38.5. Yeah, tons of injuries to this Cowboys offense. Obviously, no Michael Gallup, their number two receiver. Tons of injuries along the offensive line. Their starting quarterback, Dak Prescott, out with a fractured hand. Not sure when he'll return. But Cooper Rush has played pretty well. I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys to actually win this one. Daniel Jones is a guy who has struggled with interceptions all throughout his career. And Trayvon Diggs, the guy who led the NFL in interceptions last year, already has, I think, maybe a couple on the year this year. So I think we're going to see Trayvon Diggs with at least one interception, maybe more. Ezekiel Elliott is running pretty well. As is Pollard. So I just, with the absence of Kayvon Thibodeau, I just don't know if this New York Giants defense has enough to stop the rushing attack of the New York Giants with Zeke and Pollard, but we'll see. That's definitely a game that we will be keeping our eyes on. Very exciting game for Monday night. Other big storylines, Miami Dolphins pulled arguably one of the biggest wins of this Sunday when they took down the Buffalo Bills 21-19 in thrilling fashion. The Bills had an unbelievable game when you look at terms of time of possession. They had, I think, 50-plus plays ran. It was really kind of like a shocking finish. Josh Allen fumbling the spike snap, couldn't get the spike off. You saw Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, freak out a little bit after that fumbled snap that would have set them up for a potential game-winning field goal. But Miami is one of only 3 undefeated teams thus far in the NFL. Is Miami capable of winning their division? Adam, I'm going to start with you.
You know, I think we've seen they are capable, especially the Patriots are down. Mac Jones, he just hurt his ankle yesterday. The Bills, they've proven that they can beat the Bills. Can they beat the Bills on the road? We don't know yet. But with the way that that offense is moving and the defense stepped up in some big places yesterday, as long as they don't hurt themselves, they have one of the most dangerous offenses in the NFL. They didn't do a whole lot yesterday, but still, you know, Tua, 13 of 18, 186 yards, 1 touchdown. Waddle, 4 catches, 102 yards. He had a huge catch. I think it was 3rd and 22 to get him inside the 10. They can beat anybody right now as long as they stay healthy. That is a question. I know Tua had a little back injury plus possible concussion that they might have let him come back into the game. But if they can stay healthy, as long as Tua can come back next week, if everything's good with that team, they can definitely win this division.
Yeah, quick note about that Tua injury. We saw him get hit by, I think it was Milano, for the Bills. He goes into the locker room. He gets up first off, and he is stumbling. His leg gives out on him, has to be helped off to the locker room. And he comes back, and he plays really well. But the NFL Players Association is launching an investigation to see if Miami actually did follow all of the concussion protocols correctly. So that'll be a storyline that we keep our eyes on in the coming weeks. Rennell, do you think these Dolphins are capable of winning this division?
I think they're capable of winning the division. Now that Mac Jones is hurt, less competition, less style competition, they definitely can do it. Now, of course, it's going to come down to if they can beat the Buffalo Bills on the road. But the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen threw the ball 63 times yesterday, and they only scored 19 points. So, you don't throw that much. I feel like their offense, I didn't watch the game, so I don't know. I don't want to speak on it too much, but you generally can't throw that many times and only score 19 points. So you have to figure that out.
Well, I think the thing on that, too, with the Bills, you definitely saw during the game, the heat in Miami was 90 degrees. I'm not sure exactly what the temperature at the field level was, but they were struggling to stay on the field. Stephon Diggs had to go out of the game multiple times. They did not turn the ball over that much. No interceptions from Josh Allen. I'm trying to see here. They did have 4 fumbles, but they only lost 1. So they still had a chance, but that Miami defense really stepped up. They sacked Josh Allen 4 times and caused him disruptions later in the game when they're tired. Because they were out. They talked about it during the broadcast. The construction of that stadium keeps the Bills sideline in the sun the whole game. They were definitely feeling it yesterday.
Yes. Not to mention that the very talented secondary for the Bills was already depleted. You have one of their star safeties of the NFL, Micah Hyde, is out for the season. Their other safety, Jordan Poyer, I think, was also out that game. You had tons of injuries. Several guys on the offensive line had to leave the game. Dawson Knox, their tight end, also had to leave the game a few times, struggled with cramps. And like you mentioned, on the field level, it's definitely a lot hotter than it says. So it may have been around 100 degrees. I think the rule is you add 10 degrees. So not 100 degrees, but Miami looked like the better conditioned team. Jalen Waddle had that long of 45 yards. Tua threw to him. It was 3rd and 22 to set up that go-ahead touchdown. But the Bills held this Miami offense. I mean, Tua threw the ball 18 times, completed 13 of his passes. Tyreek Hill only caught 2 balls, Jalen Waddle 4. They didn't really have a ton of offensive production, but their defense stepped up in a tremendous way. And one of the things that a lot of people say is defense travels. So it'll be interesting to see how this Miami team fares when they go to Buffalo and it's, instead of 100 degree weather, it's, negative 10 or 0 degree weather. And you have to have this offense perform in the freezing cold. That'll be a really interesting thing. And like you mentioned, Mac Jones injured yesterday against the Ravens. It is a high ankle sprain. So Mac Jones will be out for a long time. High ankle sprains often mean most of the season, if not the entire season. So it looks like veteran backup, we will see 2 different quarterbacks, I think, get looks. Their rookie that they drafted in the 2nd round, Bailey Zappe from WVU and or WKU, excuse me. And Brian Hoyer, their veteran backup, who has been with the Patriots for a long time. So definitely clears the path for Miami to compete for that 2nd spot, as well as compete for this division title, which would be huge. This victory for Miami was the first time since 2018 that they beat the Bills. So tremendous win for the Dolphins. you also had the goat off. Tom Brady faced Aaron Rodgers for potentially the last time. We'll see if Tom Brady retires at the end of the season. I think that's likely, but Green Bay pulled the victory out 14-12, low scoring game. The second half was a defensive slugfest. Tom Brady led his team late in the fourth quarter to a touchdown, but a failed two-point conversion ultimately led the Green Bay Packers to that victory. Could not get the snap off in time. Clock ran down and did not have the ability to snap that ball and go for that two-point conversion. Are the Bucks capable of competing for an NFC championship if they continue to have injuries at this wide receiver position? Mel, I'm going to start with you.
I think so. When you have Tom Brady, you can do anything, especially in this league. I think Tampa Bay, they're still well coached. They just know how to win games. So even though their receivers, it's looking very bad right now. Chris Godwin's hurt. Mike Evans is coming back from suspension. But if you have Tom Brady, you can do anything. And I'm going to stick by that. I think they can still make it. It's still a long season to go, though.
Yeah, I think, you can never count out a Tom Brady-led team. But with the way that they played, they are getting Mike Evans back, but now they are down Godwin. They are down Julio Jones. The one good thing for this team, their schedule is not that difficult. Next week they play the Chiefs. The Chiefs just struggled this past weekend. But then the Falcons at the Steelers, you got stuff to figure out at the Panthers. Ravens will be tough. Rams, they get the Rams at home as well. Seahawks, they haven't really shown much either at the Browns. Saints, this is not a typical schedule. So they can if they get some people back from injury. But right now there are so many other teams that I think have played way better than we thought they were. I'm not going to pick the Bucs to win the NFC Championship, but if they can get some guys back from injury, they can definitely compete.
Yes, like Rinal mentioned, Mike Evans was out yesterday for the Buccaneers after he was suspended during that tussle that they had at the Saints. I think this Buccaneers defense is playing at an incredible level. You look, they have not allowed an opposing offense to score more than 15 points. The most they've given up was that 14 yesterday to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. They gave up 3 to a fully healthy Cowboys team. They gave up 10 to the Saints and 14 to the Packers. But the Buccaneers offense has not scored more than 20 points. Even with a fully healthy wide receiver unit up against the Cowboys, they only scored 19. They got to get Julio Jones back. I don't know when Chris Godwin will be back. We'll have to see. Some of these other guys that they've brought in, Russell Gage, that they brought in this offseason, just brought in Cole Beasley. Some of those guys are going to have to really step up in a big way against, the Chiefs. I think the Rams are going to be a really difficult matchup. We'll see about the Saints. The Saints, historically speaking, have been able to keep Tom Brady's offense in check. They have the 49ers. Super Bowl runner-up Bengals. The Cardinals are always dangerous. They'll have DeAndre Hopkins back by the time they play them. So definitely an interesting team to keep your eye on. But I think in terms of the NFC, I really like the Eagles right now. Eagles are one of 3 undefeated teams thus far this season. Jalen Hurts playing lights out right now for the Eagles. They took on the Washington Commanders yesterday, and they put the hurting on them, beat them 24-8. Jalen Hurts 22-35, 340 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, quarterback rating of 123.5. He's playing lights out. You also see Devontae Smith, former Bama guy as well, 8 catches for 169 yards, 1 touchdown, catch of 45, which also coincidentally matched Jalen Waddle's long of 45 from Tua. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC right now? Adam, I'll start with you.
I think right now you have to pick the Eagles to be the best team. Obviously, they're 3-0, 2-0 on the road. They've been playing very well. So, put up 38 on the Lions. Lions have not been good in a while, but they have been playing better this year. I'll give them that. The Vikings, you know, wasn't even close, 24-7. They played the Commanders 24-8. And I think what we had been waiting to see was this Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith connection, because we hadn't really seen them just go off like that. I think in the first half, Devontae had like 145 yards, just completely shredding the Commanders' defense. And Hurts, he's averaging like over 300 yards a game. Like, he is playing, you know, I think better than what we've ever seen him, even at the college level. Like, maybe he had a couple of games at Oklahoma where he was up there. But, like, this is three straight games, over 300 yards passing. It's – you look at their division, I mean, obviously, they do have one of the other undefeated teams in the Giants, but, you know, they already beat the Commanders, the Cowboys. You know, Dak's not going to be back until that Eagles game in a couple weeks. So, maybe then it might be a little different, but right now I'd say the Eagles are the best team in the NFC.
Yes, the Eagles are the best team in the NFC right now. They looked very good yesterday, and it hurt. As a Commanders fan, it hurt a lot. But, you know, Jalen Hurts looked very good out there. You can see the poise, the confidence. You know, he has so much moxie. He has the it factor. And they can do a lot of damage. They have one of the least winning schedules. They have one of the easiest schedules in the league. So they should, you know, barring – you know, significant injury or anything like that, they should be able to handle business. The NFC is always tough, and it's still early in the season, but as of right now, the Eagles are the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, I think this Devontae Smith performance yesterday and that A.J. Brown performance in week one, 10 catches for 155 yards, those two wide receivers together are making a case for one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL. All right. Got a lot more football to talk about, college and professional, when we get back from break.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back to the student section, talking a little NFL football, a little college football tonight. Adam Hambright and Rennell Foreman joining me, Aiden McGuirk. While we were away, a few posts came to our attention. The first one, a fun little factoid about Alabama. In the national championship game on January 8th, 2018, Tua Tagovailoa, the current Miami Dolphins starting quarterback, replaced Jalen Hurts, the current Eagles starting quarterback, and threw the game-winning touchdown to current Eagles wide receiver Devontae Smith against Georgia on a play called by Brian Daboll, the current Giants head coach. Today, the remaining undefeated teams in the NFL are the Dolphins, the Eagles, and the Giants. That is built by Bama. All right, Rennell had an update for us on the Mac Jones injury. Rennell?
Adam Schefter has just tweeted maybe an hour ago that Mac Jones has suffered that high ankle sprain, and it's looking like he's going to need surgery. They're still, Jones and the Patriots are still discussing that. So we don't know what the plan is, but it's looking like he's going to miss multiple games this season.
Yes, those high ankle sprains often result in players having the tightrope surgery. Alabama fans should be familiar with that. Tua Tagovailoa had to have the tightrope surgery in both of his ankles. Jerry Jeudy also had the tightrope surgery at the beginning of the last season with the high ankle sprain. That usually puts players out for the entire season. So our thoughts and prayers are with Mac Jones as he is having to make a difficult decision and likely will miss the remainder of this season. All right, Titans. Bengals and Indianapolis Colts all get their first wins yesterday. Colts beat the Chiefs 20-17. Titans beat the Raiders 24-22. And the Bengals get their first win over the Jets 27-12. Vegas and Houston are the only remaining winless teams in the NFL. not too surprised for Houston Texans, but I am a little shocked that Las Vegas is winless thus far. Adam, I'd like to get your opinion on this. If you're a Vegas fan, should you be concerned?
I think you have to be at this point. You had Devontae Adams coming in, Derek Carr. You know, they played together at Fresno State. Everybody just assumed they were going to come in and they were going to challenge for the AFC West, especially with Tyreek Hill going from the Chiefs to Miami. Starting off the season, losing your first three games. I mean, it was the Chargers, Cardinals, now the Titans. At the beginning of the year, you might have thought the Titans would be doing a lot better. Obviously, that was their first win after, you know, being the number one seed in the AFC last year. But, you know, next week, hopefully they can get their first win. They are playing the Denver Broncos, who haven't shown much. But, you know, you start off like this, it is very difficult to come back. I don't think there's ever been a team start off 0-3 and made the playoffs. So if you're a Raiders fan, I'd start planning on next year.
Yeah, definitely high expectations for the Raiders after they went to the playoffs last year amidst a ton of chaos. They were led by interim head coach Rich Bisaccia. They bring in Josh McDaniels, one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. They bring in Devontae Adams, one of the best wide receivers. They add Chris Jones to that pass rush, which looked to be a pretty dynamic pass rush. Max Crosby is an elite pass rusher. And they just have not had the kind of success that they were looking for. This was a close loss for them. Again, only 2 points, but definitely beginning to get a little concerned for the Vegas Raiders. Ronell, I'm going to get your opinion on this too. Should the Vegas Raiders be concerned?
It's very concerning, man. They're 0-3, winless. And all these losses have been tough losses. And given the fact that their division is so stout, I don't know if this is not something that you can really, I guess, you know, be okay with. You know, next week they play against the Broncos, and the week after that they play against the Chiefs. They're already 0-1 in their division. So if they are 0-3, you know, it's not over until it's over, but that's going to be a really, really tough, it's going to be tough to come back from. So they really need to win next week against the Broncos.
Yeah, it's been a tough go for the Raiders. They lose to the Chargers 24-19, Cardinals 29-23 in overtime, and then, of course, the Titans 24-22. Each of those margins of victory have been 6 points or less, so they are losing every game by a touchdown or less. So they're not too far away, but they need to clean some things up. I think their offensive line outside of their left tackle is really concerning. And that is something that I will be following. He traded first-round draft pick Alex Leatherwood to Chicago Bears at the start of this season. So definitely a team that we will be following, and hopefully they can begin to get all of these offensive weapons going for the Vegas Raiders. The Jaguars, on the other hand, have gotten their second consecutive win. They beat the Chargers in SoFi. Now, it is important to note that Justin Herbert has suffered some fractured cartilage in his ribs. He suffered that Thursday night versus the Chiefs. He did play in this game, but it looks like he is still experiencing some effects. After the struggles of the Titans early, the Indianapolis Colts early, and the Houston's not really doing much at all, could the Jaguars compete for their division? Right now, I'm going to start with you.
Yes, the Jaguars are a very tough out. You know, they're looking really good. They're very young. They're very hungry. Trevor Lawrence has been playing very well. Their line has only given up 2 sacks. They have the potential to do very big things in this division. So I don't want people to think that the Eagles are just going to be able to walk all over the Jags because of recent history. The Jags are going to be a tough team, and just, you know, the whole season, they're looking very good.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with them. You know, with the way that their division is set up, you got the Colts, you got the Texans, you got the Titans. I think everybody kind of came into the season thinking the Titans were going to do exactly what they did last year, run through everybody, have another top two seed, and, you know, they just got their first. The Jaguars, already 2 wins. They look like a totally different team than what they did last year under Urban Meyer. But it seems like they always do this. So, like, the Jaguars, they always have some, like, very poor seasons, and then out of nowhere, they'll have one of these, like, you know, either division-winning or they'll get a wild card or something. Like, if you just go back to the last time, they made playoffs in 2017. 2016, they were 3-13. 2017, they came in, surprised everybody, 10-6, made the AFC Championship game where they lost to the Patriots. This could be another one of those years. With the division being down, they can easily make the playoffs in that division. I don't know if they'll make the AFC Championship game, but it's like history for fitness.
Yeah, I really cannot see the Jacksonville Jaguars making it to the AFC Championship game. But with the struggles the Colts have had, Titans offense not really looking the same, and the Houston Texans being arguably the worst team in the NFL, I think that Doug Marrone has come in, you know, former Super Bowl winning head coach, and really gotten this Jaguars team whipped into shape here. I think that they really could compete for their division. They beat the Colts 24-0, and they beat the Chargers 38-10. So two very solid wins. Their one loss comes to the Commanders 28-22. That is also only a touchdown loss. So they were competitive in that game as well. They do play one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now next week, the Eagles. So that'll be a game that I am very, very interested in watching. Some last news in the world of the NFL. Some changes are coming to the Pro Bowl. They are doing away with the Pro Bowl game and replacing it with a week-long skills competition and a flag football game. So that'll be highly amusing to watch. I think that hopefully it'll provide a little bit stiffer competition than the Pro Bowl game. Usually players don't want to get hurt. They're not tackling very hard. They're not giving 100% effort. But with flag football, hopefully you'll see faster tempo game. Do we like the change to the Pro Bowl, Adam?
Oh, I love this change. I mean, if you've watched the last few, you know, years, I mean, it's been going on for a long time, but especially the last few years, you watch these games and it's a snooze fest. Like, you might watch the first quarter, but you're going to turn it off. Nobody wants to see, you know, the best players in the NFL. I mean, they're literally playing flag football while it's tackled. You know, they're not trying to hurt their bodies. They're not trying to hurt themselves. They know there's too much money on the line. But you come out here, and I think you could have even cut out the flag football game and just had the skill competition myself. But I think this is going to be much more entertaining for the fans, and I think the players will have a lot more fun with it.
I agree. All right, we're going to hit some college football when we return.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, and welcome back, Tuscaloosa, to the student section. I'm going to talk a little college football, but before we do, Adam has an update for the Monday Night Football game.
Yeah, so we got the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants tonight, and both teams possessed the ball once. The Cowboys had to punt on their first possession. The Giants did get in the field goal range, but had a 47-yard field goal attempt blocked. Currently, the Cowboys have the ball. They are driving. They are about at the 22-yard line of the Giants. But also some other news that we heard. Miles Garrett, all-pro defensive player for the Cleveland Browns, he was involved in a single car accident after practice, leaving the Browns facility. He was taken to the hospital, but is not suffering any life-threatening injuries.
Well, that is good news to hear that he is not suffering any life-threatening injuries. So hopefully he will have a swift recovery, a phenomenal player. All right, got to hit to start things off with Alabama's absolutely dominant performance over the Vanderbilt Commodores. Bama finishes the day 55-3. It was really just a bloodbath for this Vanderbilt team. They start their first offensive series. They get a field goal. You're thinking, okay, This might push Alabama a little bit. We saw them struggle with Texas, and from that point forward, Alabama's defense locked up. Alabama's offense went off. Bryce Young, 25 of 36 for 385 yards and 4 touchdowns. So he had himself a very impressive day. And it's beginning to look like this Alabama passing offense is gaining some footing. We see Jermaine Burton had a catch of 48 yards, Corey Brooks a catch of 34 yards. So some positive signs for this explosive play offense for Alabama. Some things that I would like to point out, though, Jace McClellan looking like he's taking on more of a role in the run game, potentially at the expense of Jahmyr Gibbs. So, Rennell, could we see Jace McClellan begin to take away some run snaps from Jahmyr Gibbs, given his effectiveness as a pure runner?
Yes, I do. I think it's fine that we have a very deep running back room, and I know that we got Jahmyr Gibbs from Georgia Tech, and people have been looking forward to seeing him. Like, you know, we want to use him to the fullest of his capabilities, but you know, we got to use the guys that we have to in the running game. Until last night, on Saturday, didn't really look too appealing, and now, you know, it feels like there's more consistency. The offense seems like it's gelling, and they finally found an identity. And Jahmyr Gibbs looks great in the receiving game. He's just such a good option out in the backfield, breaking all those tackles. So, you know, you gotta use your guys to the best of their abilities. And, you know, we did that. So if we can continue to do that, big game October 1st, continue to do that and see where we go.
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs, he's been good. He's been our leading receiver until this weekend. I do think we will still use him more in the passing down situations. Jake McClellan has just shown up this year. He had 81-yard touchdown against Texas. Obviously, against Vanderbilt, 11 carries, 78 yards. But they're showing more of a balance. But most of their running stats, like rushing stats, seem to happen more later in the game when we had kind of backed off of throwing the ball. So I would like to see them do a little bit more early, especially with these next games coming up. We got Arkansas, Texas A&M, Tennessee. It's going to be very tough with two of those games being on the road to go into tough environments. We have not shown that we can play on the road yet, our only road game at Texas where we struggled heavily. But we also might have a couple more receivers come back, which could open up the offense, maybe break a couple more deeper passes to get the running backs more room to run. And then maybe we might see Jahmyr Gibbs in more of like a rushing role. But yeah, I like what you said. Running back room is deep. We could literally go probably 4 or 5 running backs in and be okay. But it kind of reminds me of Nick Saban's early days at Alabama, when we did have more of a 2 running back kind of situation with Mark Ingram and Trevor Center, even, you know, when Eddie Lacy, TD, like all that kind of stuff was going on. So I think our offense is improving. We just got to show that we can do it every week.
Yeah, I think that it's our natural instinct to have this knee-jerk reaction. Ooh, Alabama, you know, they struggled against Texas, and it's a very good Texas team. Steve Sarkisian knew our defense well. They had a great plan. They're a very talented team, had several top 5 recruiting classes over the past several years. So a very talented team with a great game plan coming in. But we forget that teams can get better over the season and can improve week by week. One thing I want to note, though, is in this game, Jason McClellan got 11 carries for 78 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs only got 3 carries for 21 yards. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs did have 3 catches for 43 yards. But I think what Nick Saban talked about in his press conference was the importance of taking what the defense gives you. And a lot of these teams, I think, do kind of fear Jahmyr Gibbs' speed. They fear Jace McClellan, and they want to play that run very heavily. We threw the ball a lot last year. And I think that was just a struggle with the offensive line. We struggle a little bit this season with offensive line and run defense or run protection. So it'll be interesting to see how we can continue to get this run game involved. Damarian Miller, though, I want to talk about depth at the running back position. True freshman Damarian Miller, he had 9 carries for 63 yards. So he was second on the team in rushing. Tremendous depth at the running back position. I think we're set up for success next season as well, especially when you think we're bringing in 2 of the top 5 running backs, Justice Haynes and Richard Young, who are currently committed to Alabama. So, very exciting that we have such great depth. I do think that we need to improve a little bit with our ability to run the football with power. Another thing I wanted to note is some of these snap counts for these wide receivers. I think we're beginning to see Kobe Prentice lose some snaps to another true freshman, Isaiah Bond. Jermaine Burton and Trayshawn Holden both had 37 snaps, followed by Isaiah Bond with 33, then sophomore receiver Ja'Cory Brooks, and then Kobe Prentice with 28. Maybe Isaiah Bond is coming in and coming on as a receiver that we can look to. He's an incredibly fast receiver, true freshman. And some of those guys that you were talking about coming back, that was starting slot receiver JoJo Earl, is also the starting punt returner. A lot of short area quickness for him. It'd be great to have him back. And then Louisville transfer Tyler Harrell, who is arguably the fastest dude on this team. So if we can get him back as well for this next week's Arkansas matchup, that would be great to see as well. Georgia, man, they looked a little mortal Saturday against Kent State. They did beat them 39-22, but they allowed more points to Kent State than every other opponent that they faced this entire season, with a combined total of 10 points given up. Is Georgia as good as we thought they were? Rennell, I'm going to start with you.
Of course, Georgia's still very, very good. They were due to look mortal. You know, they haven't looked mortal in a very long time. Probably going back to last year, but Georgia, you know, they looked mortal, and it's fine. They'll be okay. They're still a very good team, very good defense, well coached, disciplined. I still expect to see them in the SEC championship come December, but you never know. Anything is possible. I do want to add, though, my friend from back home is the running back for Kent State, Marquez Cooper, and he had 90 yards and a touchdown. So just wanted to give him a little shout out. He played well and played well against stout competition.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia, they're still the team to beat in the SEC. I mean, I know Alabama won the SEC championship game last year, but Georgia won the national championship coming in. They set the tone early against Oregon, only allowed 3 points to Oregon, shut out Samford, and then they had South Carolina, where they beat them pretty handily. They had only given up 10 points in 3 games. Kent State comes in. They do allow 22 points. They did not look as dominant as they had been, but it's still Georgia. I think they'll bounce back. If you want to just talk about, you know, some of these kind of, you know, a bunch of teams. Ole Miss, they struggle with Tulsa. Kentucky, they struggle with Northern Illinois. You go back to Alabama. I know against the lower opponents, we haven't really struggled too much. But if you go back a few years, we played Georgia Southern, who had over like 300 yards rushing against us. We gave up 21 points to them, and I think we still won the national championship that year. So don't read too much into this one Kent State game, but I do think the East might be a little tougher than the West overall this year. So it will be interesting once they start playing like Tennessee and Kentucky, and then obviously Florida, even though Florida's lost. Two games.
Yeah, I think that Georgia Southern game is the infamous Nick Saban crap through a tin horn quote, which is one of my favorite Nick Saban moments. But yeah, Georgia's defense looked a little leaky. Several miscues for Georgia. They had an interception. Ly McConkey lost 2 fumbles, so really disappointing day for him. So they turned the ball over 3 times. Defense gave up several yards receiving, 188 yards receiving, 93 yards rushing against Kent State. Again, this would not be a big deal if they beat South Carolina 39-22, but this is Kent State. Kent State's a decent program, but they're 1-3. So, you know, I think Georgia probably going to look to improve and build off of this, just like Nick Saban's trying to do with that Texas game.
Yeah, and Georgia's next two games, they have Auburn and Missouri. So they can tighten some things up before they get to the tough part of their schedule, too.
Yeah, those are some fine-tuned games. Auburn has really struggled. Can't really seem to land on a quarterback yet. Mizzou losing that close game to Auburn on that late field goal in overtime. So, yeah, not too crazy. But, hey, what we saw from Tennessee and Florida, I think Tennessee's passing attack could give this Georgia defense some fits, especially if they play like they did this past Saturday. And speaking of Tennessee, Florida, Tennessee Volunteers beat the Florida Gators 38-33. I thought the Gators really had a decent game plan coming in. They played pretty well. Anthony Richardson had 453 yards total. He had 62 yards rushing, 453 yards passing. So, you know, it looked like Florida really gave it all that they could, gave all that Tennessee could handle. But ultimately, Tennessee walks away with the victory. How dangerous is Tennessee coming out of the SEC East, Adam?
You know, I never want to get too excited about a Tennessee team. I mean, being an Alabama fan, I'm never going to root for them. But, you know, we've seen Tennessee have these seasons where they start off, they're looking good, and then they get into the tough part of their schedule, like a game against Florida. They hadn't beat Florida since 2016. So they finally get that monkey off their back. And that was tough. You know, they have game day there. There's a bunch of distractions. It could have went completely the other way, and we could be talking about another Tennessee team that's going to finish the season 6-6. But now they're 4-0. They have a bye week. They have LSU in Death Valley. That's always tough to go down there and play. And then they have Alabama coming into Knoxville. We're going to find out a lot about Tennessee these next two games after their bye week. And one thing is, does Tennessee use the bye week to prepare for the first game? Or are they going to do like what so many other teams do, and they take extra time to prepare for that Alabama game? And then, like Texas A&M, they lost two games last year before we came in to College Station, and then they beat us. And, you know, they have been saying that they have been preparing for that game for months. So is Tennessee going to stay focused one game at a time? If they do that, I think they're very dangerous. They could give us a fight for our money, you know, when we go up to Knoxville. But, yeah, they could win the East. I'm still going to pick Georgia, but they're dangerous.
Yes, Tennessee is really dangerous. Hooker is a great quarterback, and he saw that. He was out there slinging it. You know, Tennessee, you know, just like Adam said, Tennessee still has some things that they need to do. They're on a bye week right now, and then they have LSU. So, you know, they have a lot to figure out before October 15th and we even play them. And they still have to handle their business. So, you know, only time will tell. And I do believe Georgia's probably the better team at this moment. But, you know, they still haven't played yet, you know, so we will see.
Yeah, I think you still saw Tennessee struggle with that passing defense. And Georgia has a really solid pass game. Alabama looks like its passing game is beginning to develop. Kentucky with Will Levis could give them some issues in the passing game as well. So, you know, I think that, like you mentioned, Alabama is going to have a tough time with this Tennessee team, especially given the potency of their offense. And yes, Hendon Hooker, I think he's sort of entering the fringe Heisman conversation. He went 22 of 28 for 349 yards and two touchdowns. He also rushed for 13 carries, 112 yards, and one touchdown. So three touchdowns on the day for Hendon Hooker against a relatively decent Florida defense. I, again, like Georgia to win the SEC East, but I think Tennessee probably will end up behind them at that number two spot, competing for maybe a New Year's Six Bowl. So probably a pretty exciting time to be a Tennessee fan, especially with all the chaos that you've had to deal with over the past few years. All right, A&M outlasted Arkansas 23-21, a late missed field goal. by Arkansas, allowed A&M to skirt by, hit the upright, which is really crazy. Hit the upright right at the flag, bounced back into the end zone, and A&M was able to move to continue their win streak after that really, really embarrassing loss to App State. I think that all of the goals that they want to achieve are still within reach. Again, that one loss to App State is not a conference loss. So if they continue to win out, they could take a trip to Atlanta, but their offense is really, really struggling. Do you see A&M doing anything this season in terms of a championship, Adam?
No, I don't. To be honest, like, I know everybody says, you know, defense wins championships, but their offense has got to figure something out. They've made the switch at quarterback. Max Johnson, he's still around 50% completions. If, this past game, he went 11 of 21, 151 yards. I was surprised how well they were able to run the ball on Arkansas. Devin Achane, I don't know if that's his name.
Achane.
But, yeah, so 19 carries, 159 yards. Arkansas still should have won this game. I don't understand. They had a 14-point lead. It was 14-7 at one point. KJ Jefferson has a chance to put it up 21-7, fumbles the ball at the three. They have a 97-yard fumble return where the guy should have been tackled, but he was like, oh, let me turn around and hand it off, and then he runs it in. Arkansas still should win the game, had a chance to win it, and that, I think that's the first time I've ever seen a ball hit the very top of the upright. But now, I don't think Texas A&M, with the offense the way it's been, can compete against Alabama. I don't even see them really being able to handle Ole Miss. I see them losing at least those two games. We'll see. But I don't have them winning anything this year.
Yeah, they have a really experienced Mississippi State team that they have to play this Saturday as well. So that could be a potential trap. Real quick here, we have some upsets. MTSU crushed Miami 45-31. That game was not even as close as the score predict shows. MTSU bodied Miami. Miami had no answer for MTSU on either defense or offense, so tough times for Mario Cristobal. Texas Tech took down Texas 37-34. Now keep in mind, Texas has their backup quarterback Hudson Card in. Quinn Ewers looking like he may return for this game this upcoming Saturday. And Kansas State beat Oklahoma 41-34. I think that's like the third time that they have gone into Oklahoma and beaten them. Kansas State still in contention for the Big 12 championship berth. And keeping it in the state of Kansas, Kansas is 4-0, guys. Kansas is 4-0 after their victory over an undefeated Duke team. I think Lance Leopold, the head coach at Kansas, is going to get some looks for a major job in the world of the Power Five. Kansas, I'm sure, enjoying the success that they have right now, but I mean, let's be real here. There's a lot of better opportunities for a guy who has turned a Kansas program around. Keeping in the world of coaching, though, Jeff Collins was fired by Georgia Tech after their brutal loss to Ole Miss. I don't know if you saw the quote Lane Kiffin had after that game. Someone asked him why Ole Miss didn't throw the ball more, and he said, well, given the hot seat situation that Jeff Collins was on, he didn't want to obliterate them that badly, but they did. So I've been hearing a lot of noise about Deion Sanders potentially coming in for Georgia Tech. Do you like that move for now?
I don't think Deion Sanders is going to go to Georgia Tech. He really wants to build Jack State from the ground up, and he's been doing a great job. I just don't see him leaving so soon. You know, I think he will make that jump to a higher level, maybe like a D1 school in maybe 5 to 10 years in long term, but as of now, I don't think he makes it. He was in the news not too long ago talking about he doesn't think Jack State has the talent level to beat in Alabama, but he's been trying to get up to that point. You know, so.
Yeah, they brought in some pretty big recruits this past year. Some people even, you know, Nick Saban kind of alluded to maybe they paid for the player. I'm not going to go in and say anything that was against the rules happened, but I think he's doing a very good job, that I can say. They're doing pretty good. You know, they won this past weekend. I think it was 48-7. They won by a lot of points. I saw the after the game, you know, he's in the locker room. He's saying, did we dominate? No, we didn't. We didn't dominate four quarters. They have a bye week this week. So he's, you know, really focused on this team. I think there's only one program he would leave for, and that would be to go to Florida State, to his alma mater. But Florida State, they're right now. They're not the same Florida State team that we saw, you know, the last 5 years. So I don't know when that job would come open for him to take it. So until something like that happens, I think he's going to stay there, try to develop all these people at this level. And, you know, it's not a bad job. It's not.
Yeah, I don't see Mike Norvell getting fired from Florida State if he continues to have the success that he's having. Florida State's been really patient with him, and I think rightfully so. You're beginning to see them kind of turn that program around. You know, Dion did play for the Falcons. He played MLB for the Braves, so he has a lot of connection to the city of Atlanta. And he did a joint interview on ESPN with Nick Saban and talked about how Jackson State doesn't really have any kind of boosters, no collectives. So if he's interested in going to a place that's going to provide him a slightly more level playing field on the recruiting trail, I think Georgia Tech might be a decent place. It's in the ACC, which, you know, now that Clemson's kind of come down to earth, it's not a crazy competitive conference. None of the teams are just blowing me away this season. There's not one program that's head and shoulders above all the rest. So,
yeah, and let's not forget, you know, Georgia Tech, they have won a national championship before. They have had some very good players go there. They even had Calvin Johnson. I know he wasn't the Calvin Johnson that he was in the NFL, but it's still a very good program. It's not a bad job to go to Georgia Tech. If everything works out, I just don't see the end
of it. Right. All right, real quick, we're going to hit the AP poll. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, and Clemson round out the top five. No changes there. USC bumps up to number six, and Kentucky up one spot to number seven. Tennessee jumps number three spots to number eight after their victory over Florida. Oklahoma State sits pat at number nine. North Carolina State jumps two spots into the top 10. They have a matchup with Clemson coming up in the next few weeks. That'll be very exciting. They play UConn, or no, I think they played UConn and won 41-10. Penn State up three spots. They're ranked number 11. Utah up 1-12. Oregon up 2-13 after their victory over Washington State. Ole Miss up to number 14, two spots after their victory over Tulsa. Washington in the top 15, up three spots after their victory over Stanford. They had that impressive win over Michigan State. Pretty excited about what Washington can do. Baylor up one spot after their victory over Iowa State to 16. A&M jumping six spots after their victory over Arkansas to number 17. Oklahoma, one of the biggest drops here. They'd fall 12 spots to 18 after their brutal loss to Kansas State. BYU remains at the 19th spot. Arkansas falls 10 spots after that close loss to A&M to number 20. I still think Arkansas is a top 15 team. Minnesota sitting at number 21. They're 4-0. I think Minnesota's not getting the kind of love and attention that they may deserve. We'll be watching them closely as they continue to play that Big Ten schedule. Wake Forest falls to 22 after they took that close loss in overtime to Clemson. Florida State at 23, and Pittsburgh rounding out to 24. And Kansas State, number 25. That is the AP Top 25. Thank you so much for listening, and just next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.